her career behind.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, this is Irene Watson, and I'm your host for today. I am so delighted to be speaking with Dr. Nancy Oldcloud. She is the author of Journey from Head to Heart, Living and Working Authentically. Now, Nancy has begun her career as a high school English teacher in Marshall, Texas. She earned her MA in English from the University of North Texas and her doctorate in Educational Administration from Texas A&M University Commerce. For 9 years, she serves as an assistant superintendent for instructional services in Marshall, Texas, followed by 9 years as executive director for the Texas Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. And also, since 2000, she has worked as an executive coach in Austin, serving entrepreneurial clients in education, social services, financial services, real estate, public relations, and city administration. Her articles have appeared in publications including the American School Board Journal, the Austin Business Journal, The Systems Thinker, and Austin Woman. Her first book, entitled Journey from Head to Heart, Living and Working Authentically, was just published. In fact, it was just published a couple days ago, and so I'm just so delighted to be speaking to her. And oh, by the way, she also has some coaching CDs that are available through her website and Amazon too, so be sure that you check her out. Nancy, it's great to have you on the show.
Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. This is great. My goodness, as I'm reading your bio here to let our listening audience know a little bit about you, you have a very extensive background in education.
Oh, yes. Long career in education. Great career in education.
Yes, obviously, and I'm sure that much of that part of the career you're able to bring into what you're doing now, and that's coaching.
That's right. It's all about teaching and learning and how to help people learn more quickly so that they can have better, more meaningful lives.
Well, and it's obviously probably when you first started teaching as an English teacher back in Marshall, Texas, you never ever thought you'd be where you are now coaching people.
Never, ever.
Isn't that funny how we do that? And we just sort of transition from one career to another, and yet there's this pipeline that sort of takes us, and we gather up all this information, and then we share it, as you did in your new book.
That's right. It is just amazing to look back and see those little pathway stones along the way.
Yeah, I know. It's really great, and I'm just grateful that you were able to share that with us in your book. Now, the title of the book is called Journey from Head to Heart. Now, when I look at that, to me it looks like there's a separation. There's the head and the heart. And so what I'd like you to do, Nancy, is just tell us, like, what's the difference between the head and the heart? Sometimes we get these two really confused, I know. And at the same time, tell us how we can just bring those together.
Well, for me, in the early stages of my career, it was all about the head. If someone spoke from the heart, I pretty much disregarded that. And I think, not to analyze too closely, but that's where most of my training was. And I've had a lot of years of schooling. And that schooling was primarily about learning to use logic and reason, to apply those skills to problem solving, and to create success through mental processes. That's a good way to think about it. The head is the mental process. Well, along the way, I discovered there was a lot more to it than that, and that the emotional part of the brain is extremely powerful. And if we ignore it, we suffer the consequences of that. I ignored it. So I came to a point in my life that the pain was so intense I just couldn't ignore it anymore. And it was then that I started making the journey into my heart. Now, not that the two were ever divorced, but there was a significant period where I was listening more to my heart than to my head. And then there came a point when the right balance occurred. And that happened when I learned that the energy of the heart actually has the power to change the chemistry of the brain. And so the two are working hand in hand in tandem with each other all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. So my challenge and my mission is to help people know the difference when they're working too much out of their heads, when it's a good time to go to the heart and find a way to do things more powerfully, more easily, and more joyfully when the two work together.
Wow, that's incredible. And it's incredible that we're able to actually do that. Now, you mentioned, Nancy, chemistry. And I think, you know, for our listeners that are maybe more so in the head, I'd like you to explain what really happens when that transition happens, that when you're able to actually go to the heart and what happens with the chemistry.
There's a scientific study that was done at some university in California, I can't remember the specifics now, that proved that kind, affirming words have the same effect on the brain's chemistry as Prozac, which is a drug that's often given for depression to lessen anxiety and create a more peaceful state of mind. So what this study showed is that we can do that with kind, affirming words. Well, those are the kinds of words that come out of the heart, whether we're giving them to ourselves or to another person. If we're not doing that, the brain works best in a state of relaxed alertness, and that is the state that the heart gives it. It says all is well. If we're operating out of anxiety or fear or anger, we're actually diminishing our brain's capacity. And the energy of anxiety emits cortisol. And over time, that chemical erodes the body's immune system and we get sick. So there's a huge advantage in learning to live and lead and work out of our hearts, because our brains work best in a state of relaxed alertness.
Relaxed alertness. That's it's hard to imagine how there could be into, you know, relaxed alertness, because when we basically think that when we have to be alert, we have to be in this, you know, position that we're just totally alert all the time and we're knowing what's going on and we're basically like an A personality. But then when you're saying relaxed, it's totally opposite. But yet what I'm hearing you say is we can actually be in one time, in one space, in both of those situations at the same time.
Yes, and as I hear you ask the question, I'm realizing that maybe we've confused vigilance with alertness. You know, when we're vigilant, we're looking out for something, and it's sort of a self-protection stance. But if we're just relaxed, it's amazing to me how many details I see that I miss if I'm in a more nervous state. That alertness happens as a natural consequence of the relaxation. You know, if you think of a time that you were totally and completely relaxed, maybe on vacation, maybe on a beach, or I know you made a trip to Greece recently, and I know that was a very relaxing time for you, and you, because your brain is just completely relaxed and you're living out of your heart, you know, all the details are probably etched forever in your memory.
You know, that really does make sense. As I'm listening to what you're saying, Nancy, it really does make sense, and I can resonate with that, because, as you mentioned, I was in Greece, and I was in a very relaxed state, and I'm able to come back and remember those relaxed states and get myself back right into there.
Right.
So what you said is just really, you know, I can prove that, but it really does work. You also mentioned earlier, Nancy, that kind words to ourselves. Now, you know, often we think about using kind words with other people and being kind to them, but it could be that using kind words to ourselves is foreign to some people. So let's talk about that. Just give us an explanation what really happens when we do say kind words to ourselves, or even how do we start doing that?
Oh, that's a tough one. Most of us are more cruel to ourselves than we would ever be to any other living human being. All of those old memories, everything we've ever done that we don't like is all stored in there. And until we go through a process of self-forgiveness, which leads to love, those messages are hitting us on a pretty consistent, constant basis. I worked, I worked a couple of days ago with a young woman, beautiful young woman, whose life is very unhappy because of how she's been treated very recently in the workplace. And as she talked with me, she said, I realize I really am doing this to myself by allowing it. And so what would happen is in the workplace, her boss would be saying things to her that were really completely and totally inappropriate. And then she would take that and then go home and beat herself up for taking it. It's amazing what we do to ourselves. And the way to get out of that is just to start practicing doing it differently. What I recommend to people, because it worked for me, is if they write a love letter to themselves every day for 40 days. Now, frankly, it took me much longer than 40 days. It took me a couple of years to change that old pattern. So do it for however long it takes. But just say something kind and loving to yourself every single day, and you'll be amazed at how your life changes.
So basically, it's also affirmation. A lot of people do use affirmations, and they have affirmations spotted all over their house, and so they see this all the time. So that would be the same kind of thing, would it?
I think it is, but I think there might be a slight difference. Some of the affirmations I see seem more mental than emotional and spiritual. So I think the key here to whether it works or not work is it coming out of your heart? Are you feeling it in your heart? It's not a mental thing. It's emotional and spiritual.
Wow, that's important. What you just said is so important, feeling it in the heart. And I think that what I'm also hearing you say is that that's so important to be able to feel it, because otherwise, if some of the affirmations are, they're mental. And that's okay, too. But if we're going to really live and work from our heart, that's exactly where it has to come from, is that feeling in the heart. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's exactly right. And
Good. Earlier,
Irene, you mentioned that I have a long background in education, so I have a great heart for schools and people who work in schools and the students who learn there. A couple of days ago, I was in a meeting with some acknowledged experts in education, and I was so happy to hear one of them say, you know, in a school where the people have such a great heart for the kids, even if they don't have all of the curriculum pieces in place, and even if the systems are not perfect, still, those kids learn just because the people who are working with them care so much.
Oh, my goodness. That just gave me goosebumps to really know that in the educational system, this is actually looked at and acknowledged.
Well, I think it has not been happening very much mm-hmm. in recent years, but I'm beginning to hear maybe we're turning a corner and people are starting to realize, as one of my clients said once, and this was the school superintendent, he said, the pathway to the head is through the heart.
Wow. Wow. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Whether you've already written your manuscript or are contemplating writing one, you will need to create a book proposal. ReaderViews has a coaching service to help you create an enticing book proposal for your work of fiction or nonfiction. In fact, ReaderViews will even submit your book proposal to publishers and agents they have created a relationship with, and then they promise to pursue these submissions. Go to ReaderViews.com today and click on Services for Authors to find out more information on book proposals and how ReaderViews can help you.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Nancy Olklaus. She is the author of Journey from Head to Heart, Living and Working Authentically. Nancy, the subtitle of your book is Living and Working Authentically. So before we go any further into that, what does living authentically or working authentically, well, I guess basically, what does authentically mean? Let's get down to that first, and then we'll understand.
It might be easier for me to start by saying what it doesn't mean.
Okay.
For much of my life, I tried to figure out in a group what my role was. In other words, I'd walk into a room of people, look around, I would figure out what the hierarchy was. you know, who's top here, mm-hmm. Who's low dog here, who do I need to be sure to speak to, and where is my seat? That's working out of ego. Today, I walk into a room. Usually I pray before I go into the room, and I just ask God to lead. And then I'm just amazed at the conversations I have and the people who come up to me. It's just a very different feeling. I'm not looking around anymore to figure out who's in first place and who I need to talk to that would be politically advantageous. I don't do those things anymore. So therein is a behavioral difference with a specific example. Does that help, or have
it sure
I muddied the waters?
No, it sure does, Nancy, and it's very clear because, and what you're saying is now is before you would go in and there was, you were on a mission, you had a purpose, and it was nothing to do with coming from the heart, but now when you go in, you're coming from the heart, and obviously then too, everything has shifted. When you go into these meetings, you're a different person, you go there with a different purpose, and you come from the heart, so therefore what you get out of it is probably totally different too. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Another way to think of this is having an agenda. When I'm working out of my ego, I have an agenda. There's some outcome I want. I'm trying to figure out how to manipulate the situation so that I get what I want. But living authentically is completely different from that. It's being willing simply to show up and say what truly needs to be said, to be kind, open, willing, and then let whatever happens, and know that that's going to be for the best. So my only intent is to show up and be who I truly am.
Well, that's a big step, and that's a big, hard step for a lot of us to do, especially, Nancy, in corporate America. I mean, that's, you had talked about, you know, the head, logic, reason, and to me, that spells corporate America. There's a lot of pretense. We go in with missions, agendas, into meetings, and so on. So let's make this shift, and how are we going to make the shift from being that head leader to a heart leader in corporate America?
Well, already we have some leadership in that regard. There was a book written several years ago by Jim Collins called Good to Great. That was the name of the book. And in that book, he described the characteristics of a level 5 leader, who are the leaders who lead the most outstanding organization. And he said their hallmark quality is that they have humility, which is a primary virtue of authenticity. So already we're seeing the acknowledged leaders in the field saying this is the ideal form of leadership. However, again, most of those books appeal to the mental and don't really show the pathway for how to get there. So your question is about how to get there. And my answer is we have to start doing things differently. I start small, and I have a guide, which is in the book, by the way, a guide for leading meetings, which is designed so that brains can more readily be in that state of relaxed alertness, which is ideal for best thinking. But it requires that whoever is leading that meeting leave some spaces for silence, and that they don't just try to drill down immediately and get the meeting over with quickly while they leave great big issues on the table. And it also requires that people in these large organizations be willing to confront each other with kindness when it is needed. I think the greatest problem that we have in large corporations is that some egos are so strong that other people abdicate responsibility just because they don't want to put forth the effort and energy required to meet that ego. And then we're rushing to get the results that we want, whereas we're going to get better results, and in fact, we'll get them in a shorter period of time if we slow down, and therein is the paradox.
Well, you know, and that just kind of brings me to another thought here. So when transitioning from the head to the heart, and all of a sudden, you know, just kind of getting it that, okay, leading from the head isn't working. I need to switch over, lead from the heart. And this would actually probably stir up a lot of fears. And I want to talk about some of these fears and how a person would actually overcome them. And the first one that comes to mind is actually rejection. You know, rejection from peers, rejection from the subordinates or supervisors, and, you know, especially if they're not on the same page of leading from the heart. And so, you know, we so want to be accepted, and I would think that this rejection would be just one of the major fears. It's like, okay, if I'm going to make this shift, I'm going to start leading my department from the heart, what are the consequences? And so I want to talk about that, Nancy, like, give us some wisdom.
It's not like turning a page. It's not that one day I'm working out of my head and the next day I'm working out of my heart. So it's not that drastic. My experience is if people will just take one small piece of the process of moving from head to heart, just one tiny piece, there doesn't have to be an announcement. They just make a small adjustment in their behavior, and then they continue to make small, tiny, incremental changes, so that nobody is threatened by the change because it's happening so slowly and gradually. It's just happening in accordance with the natural order of things. That's the very best way to do it. It does not have to be a drastic overnight thing. In fact, if it is, it will fail.
Well, that, I think, is probably what the fear would be, is if somebody took and decided one day, okay, Monday morning, we're going to do it this way. There will be a failure because, as you said, it's that subtle transition in one step at a time, one day at a time to make the changes. And it may take a year to make that total change, wouldn't it?
It could take longer.
Or longer.
This is the very reason why I prefer not to go in and work with a leadership team. I've done that in the past, and it's too much. Let me just work one-on-one with a leader. As that leader makes tiny, small, incremental shifts, then because of the power of leadership, those changes will roll out.
Yeah, of course. And I can see that happening. So, Nancy, let's say on a personal level, okay, so we've decided to make this change. It's like realize that we've been living in our heads, working, you know, our lives are just totally coming from the head, and we're making this transition into the heart. And when we do this over time, there's major changes that happen in our lives, and all of a sudden, the friends that we had don't fit. They're not on the same page with us anymore. And that could be really, really scary, because all of a sudden, we're changing, but they're not, and wow, all of a sudden, we don't have any friends. So, more words of wisdom, Nancy. What do we do?
That does happen. But it happens slowly and gradually. In other words, my experience is I don't see old friends, boom, dropping out off the radar screen and no new friends in sight. I don't see that happening. What happens to me instead is it's such a slow incremental process. Maybe an old friend is moving away while a new one is coming in. And what I'm gaining from the new relationship feeds me in a way that the old one didn't. And it's not about good, bad, right, wrong. It's none of that. It's just about change. Some people, sometimes when I start working with them, become very, very frightened that they might not be able to stay in their marriage. Well, that would be a very frightening thing. But my experience is most of the time, in fact, I don't think I've had a single client who has filed for divorce or separated from their husband. In fact, what happens is that relationship changes and takes on a deeper meaning.
All for the better, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
In other words, if the capacity is there for the relationship to change, it will.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? And what you just said is so important, the capacity. And obviously, when the person decides to make that shift, the change, the capacity will be there.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what this shift is really about is moving into love.
Ah.
Unconditional love. And I am utterly convinced that is the strongest power in the universe. everybody wants it. So the closer we move to love, the more loving all of our relationships become.
Of course. Of course. That makes so much sense. It has to start with us, doesn't it? Ourselves.
It does.
And when we make that change and we're coming from the heart, from the place of love, regardless what area of our lives it is, whether it's our personal lives or our working lives, everything works. It works. And it's just such a great place to be in.
Everything works. And the real beauty is it works with a lot less effort from us.
Effortless. That's kind of a key word, isn't it?
Easily and joyfully.
And effortlessly. Nancy, you bring in a lot of your own personal experiences in your book, Journey from Head to Heart. And that is such a great idea because people can relate to a real person and real trials and tribulations and ahas. And I really commend you for being able to put your life out there for people to see. I mean, you're transparent. You're transparent in the book. And I really commend you on doing that. And that must have been a step from the heart in itself.
Yes. It was important for me to do that. I did not want to advocate for somebody else something that I could not personally attest to and say, I know this is true because I lived it.
And, you know, what other example could we give but something from our own lives that really worked and the changes were so prominent as they were for you?
Right.
Gosh, Nancy, you know, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I know we can just go on and on for a long time, but unfortunately we're running out of time, and I want to give you the opportunity to let our listening audience know what your website address is.
Oh, thank you. The web address is headtoheart.info. That's www.headtoheart.info.
How simple is that? The same as your book.
Right.
Headtoheart.info. Okay. Gosh, thanks again for spending this time with us. And I'd like to remind our listening audience that you can link to Nancy's page on Inside Scoop Live. And you can purchase Journey from Head to Heart. Right there's a link on her web page, and it'll go straight to Amazon. You can order it through there, or actually you can even go to Nancy's website, headtoheart.info, and purchase the book there. Again, this is Irene Watson, and I'm your host for today, and thank you for listening. Bye for now.